I mean, you can get saved today. You can know for sure when you pillow your head tonight, you drew your last breath, you'd be in heaven. Not because you're so good, because we're not. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. Jesus Christ said on that cross on Calvary, it is finished. All the payment for your sin was paid on Calvary. And the victory was when he rose that third day. And that resurrection power that brought Jesus out of the grave, which was his own power, is the reason you and I can get to heaven. There's a lot of messed up things out there in religion, all this, you know, baloney about, well, maybe if you do good enough, or if you give enough money to the priest or the preacher or the pastor or whoever, or if you, you know, save the whales and hug the trees and do all that stuff. And I'm not against being a good steward of what God's blessed us with, but I mean, that's not the way to heaven. You can go home and run everything you own until it runs out of gas and everything going to burn up. The Lord's going to burn it up. Amen. And we don't worship Mother Earth. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing is, there's so much confusion out there with religion, and so much confusion out there in the hearts and souls of men, because they're being lied to. They're being deceived. And they're being deceived into a lake of fire forever. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say a way. He said the way. There's no other way. And God gave us a Bible, and he gave us good church-age doctrine in the Pauline epistles. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody in here is a sinner. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, a gift doesn't cost me anything. It cost Christ everything. Amen. And it didn't cost you anything. Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You get to Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You realize you're a sinner, you realize Jesus Christ died for your sins, he's the only way, and you call on him, trust in him and him alone, you're as good as in heaven. He performs a spiritual operation where he places you in Christ, and you become part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, part of the church. Not a local New Testament church, but part of the church, the body of Christ, which is anybody around the world that's called on Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And then Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you're in him. That's saved. Amen. That's saved. I want to talk for just a little bit about some things today that you're not going to hear in the average Baptist church even anymore. And, you know, if the kids want to go downstairs, they probably can. If Bible words, you know, we're going to get into some things maybe might be a little offensive to the ones. I mean, you can stay up here for a little bit if you want, and then but I want to talk about being caught up in a movement. Being caught up in a movement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you open your Bibles there, we'll look at a few things. And I believe we're in the last days of the church age. I believe the Lord could call us out real soon. I hope he does. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll read a verse and we'll put it in context here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, the Word of God says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And first of all, they're talking about the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. They're talking about resurrection. And, you know, people are saying, well, there is no resurrection. There is, you know, the resurrection's already passed. All kinds of crazy stuff. But they're debating about the resurrection. He's talking about the resurrection here. And he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Now think about who's talking here. It's Paul. Paul had given up everything. He had given up his religion, his power, his prestige, his finances to follow Jesus Christ. And they were being persecuted. So if they only had hope in this life and their life was just a miserable life of persecution, then they were most miserable. They were more miserable than the religious crowd. I mean, if all that happens is you die and you go back to dirt and turn back into cosmic energy and redistributed by the Big Bang from a gazillion years ago or whatever, however that works. I'm not sure how it works. I'm not that religious. But if that's what happens, then it doesn't matter. You just do what you want. Get you a great big stick and beat everybody in the head and take what you want from them. Doesn't matter. There's no judgment. And that's what the world believes now. That's what they believe now. I was talking to Scott, talking to y'all last week, I think it was, maybe it was Wednesday, about sitting in a restaurant listening to these women talking about, oh, Mother Earth, and oh, if you break everything down to its subatomic particles, and oh, you know, we meditate on the Powerball and all this goofy stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, you will spend all this energy and all this time and all this money to get a university degree so you can show your friend across the table while you're eating, overeating, amen, how smart you are. You know, hell will be full of smart people. Heaven's going to be full of saved people. And you don't have to be very smart to get saved. I got saved, amen. Smart enough to know I was on my way to hell and Jesus Christ is the only answer, amen. But we're looking at a day, this world is being caught up in a movement, which I want to talk about this to warn you and to encourage you about this movement. The world is caught up in a movement of an unholy spirit. You see, when God does great things, there's a movement of the Holy Spirit. And when the devil does things, it's usually more subtle, and it's a movement of an unholy spirit. So I want to talk about why we're being caught up in a movement that is an unholy movement. And I'll turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. I want to read a verse and we'll put it in context. In Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14 says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And that's in context here. We'll look at verses 13 through 16. That's where we're at today. Everybody's crying, peace, peace. Bumper stickers and all this, you know, coexist and all this stuff. It's a subtle movement of an unholy spirit to get everybody in the same boat going the wrong direction. What they want to do is get your Christianity out of the right boat into the wrong boat. They want to get your beliefs out of truth into a lie. And, we have to coexist. What does that even mean? We've been coexisting for a long time. I mean, when God's people in the Old Testament, Israel, were doing right by God, they were coexisting with people that weren't until God says go defeat them. He didn't tell us to go defeat them except with the gospel. He's going to come back and defeat them, the people that don't get on board. But to put this in context in Jeremiah, we'll start in verse 13. It says, for the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Sound familiar? And from the prophet, even to the priest, every man dealeth falsely. How about that? We got a whole bunch of people supposed to be speaking for God that are dealing falsely today. And a lot of them call themselves priests. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. When they're saying peace, peace, they're saying, hey, you just hang on and be comfortable while I'm taking everything you've got. In verse 15 it says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Isn't that something? They lost the ability to be ashamed. It used to be when somebody had something wrong on the inside, you could see it on the outside. Now they've become professional hiders. They can hide the filth on the inside and they don't even blush anymore. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know what the churches are saying today? We will not walk in the old paths because we have a new way, a better way. We've evolved, right? Darwin even got a shot in at the churches. We've evolved into a better people where we have a better understanding than they did back in Bible days. Well, good news, we're in Bible days, right? We're waiting for the rapture, then 7-year tribulation, then 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and then eternity. We're in Bible days. And the same people that talk about being in Bible days used to be in Bible days are the same people that think they're back under the Old Testament law or something a lot of times. It's craziness. But the thing is, Jeremiah is warning a stiff-necked people that would not turn around. They refused to hear his words. And he said to find the old paths and walk in the old ways, and they refused to do it. Who refused to do it? The prophets, the priests, all the people. They won't do it. And they won't do it today. You're not going to get Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer or Kenneth Copeland or two-thirds of the people that you hear on the radio. Don't listen to them, by the way. But the people on the radio and on the TV and on the internet, you're not going to get them turned back to the old ways because they're making too much money off the new ways. And they don't care. They're making merchandise of men. They don't care about anybody's soul. We talked about this before. The king of Sodom, when he was talking with Abraham, he said, "Give me the men and you take the goods." King of Sodom's a type of the Antichrist. He wanted the souls. The Antichrist is after souls. He'll give you everything of this world if you'll turn away from trying to win souls to Jesus Christ. He'll offer you a better job, a better house, a better car, more money, more power, more prestige. He'll offer you anything you want to get you to quit working or stop working or never start to work for Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, man, the Lord's blessing me." I think the devil blesses people with goods more than God ever does. How do I know that? Because we see the fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. I mean, they get so many goods that then they have to have a boat to go out on Sunday. They have to have a motorhome to travel around the world. And, of course, they can go to church on Christmas and Easter, or maybe, or watch it on live stream somewhere, or a video of it. But the thing is, the devil will just dole out goods to get people out of God's will. Well, I got some news for you. If you've been born again, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, praise God, you're going to heaven. But you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And your life, the works of your life, will be judged. And at the end of that judgment, if you haven't done anything for Jesus Christ, and everything's been about the things of this world, everything's going to burn up, and you'll have nothing in eternity to lay back at the feet of Jesus Christ that laid everything down for you on Calvary. What am I saying? You better find out what the old ways were. So, well, you know, the preacher on TV said that if I'm rich, it's because God loves me and he's blessing me. If I'm not rich, I'm out of God's will. I need to get right and give him some money so he can buy another jet. And he can be more rich, and then God will bless me tenfold. I'll get rich. And the truth is, the prophets in the Old Testament, they weren't doing anything for money. The true prophets, the apostles, the disciples, they were running around. Jesus Christ didn't have a place to lay his head. Foxes have holes. The birds have nests. The Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have anything of this world. But he had everything you need. What are the old ways? This movement I mentioned above a little bit ago, it's a movement of peace. Peace. Because if you work hard and believe in yourself, you can do anything. And you can do anything you want. All the way to a lake of fire. Or you can get saved and still do anything you want. All the way to a disappointing judgment seat of Christ where you have nothing. But this movement of peace is a movement. It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. We'll get into that a little bit more. And matter of fact, I ask that you, I'll try to get this on the internet if you'd listen to it later. I appreciate it, sister. But I want probably kids to go downstairs. I want to look at some things today that are both intended to be both a warning and an encouragement. And I want to look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17. You're not going to get this in a Southern Baptist church. You're not going to get this in most Baptist churches anymore. You're not going to get this most anywhere anymore, but it's in the Bible. This movement, this movement of the Antichrist spirit, this movement that the world is being caught up in is not just a movement the lost people are being caught up in. It's a movement that saved people are being caught up in. And here's the thing. The reason they're able to be caught up in this movement is because what Amos says, there's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. There's not a famine of the Word of God. You can go anywhere and pick up King James Bible. There's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Even if there's not a famine of the preaching in the house of God, there's still people that sit in the pews every week and don't hear it. Amen. And you know what happens? They get caught up in this movement. And this is a dangerous and deadly movement, and I'm gonna show you why. We're going to talk about some things here that it would upset every woman preacher in the world, I'm sure, and probably two-thirds of the men, or the males anyway. In verse number 9 of Revelation 17, it says, "Here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Now, we're talking about a woman here. Let's jump back over to verse number 1 and see who this woman is. Chapter 17 of Revelation. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." The great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now this is where everybody wants to go to the Presbyterian church after this one, where we can just be nice and lovey-dovey. That verse 9 is explaining who that woman is. It sits on seven hills. And that seven hills is talking about Rome. And everybody, look, I'm not telling you this to beat up Catholics. I'm telling you this to kick the Catholic Church right where they need it. And I'm going to show you some things out of this book and what's going on in this world today that will blow your mind. It's just amazing how true and how much this book is coming true lately. How much it's showing that it's true. We've got a system of religion in Rome that has always been against the truth. Since 350 AD or whenever they got started back in there, it's always been against the truth. Always. But I want to show you something really interesting in Luke 23. We'll use this as a jumping off point to get into the rest of the message. In Luke 23, I hope and pray that everybody in here when you leave today will be closer to the Lord and have a better understanding of what's going on in your world, this world today, the world that belongs to the devil anyway. Now we are looking at Jesus Christ and the judgment. And in Luke 23, Pilate's taking him to Herod, sending him to Herod. Here's what's going on in verse 12. So Pilate decides to send him, he's under Herod's jurisdiction, sending him to Herod. They question him. He answered nothing. Pilate had already said there's nothing, I found nothing wrong with this man. He's guilty of nothing. Pilate and Herod were not friends. They're enemies. Now look what happens in verse 12. In the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before they were at enmity between themselves, they were in opposition. They were enemies. They were made friends together. Remember the saying here about, 10 years ago, become real popular, the enemy of my enemy is my friend? You know where that come from? Islam. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know what they're doing? They're taking one enemy and using them to defeat another enemy. And then when that enemy becomes no longer profitable, they'll use another enemy to defeat that enemy. Isn't it interesting? I like Bible words. I like the word rapture, even though it's not in the Bible. We're going to be caught up. I'm looking forward to that. I hope it happens today. I'm looking forward to that. But I like Bible words. And the Bible words, the Bible says that there's a great whore that sat on seven hills. And the enemy of the enemy is my friend, like Herod and Pilate. So to lay the groundwork for this part of the message, the Catholic Church and the United Nations have never been friendly. They didn't get along for basically two reasons. The UN is all for depopulation. They want to get the earth depopulated to a certain level because they're going to worship Mother Earth. That's their religion. and the UN does not like the name Jesus Christ. Now, bear with me now. The Catholics do not believe in biblical salvation. They don't teach it. They don't preach it. They don't act. They can't even tell you where they're going. I got a book that says you can know where you're going, and it's all about Jesus Christ. But they have always put the name of Jesus in their mix of how you might get to heaven. And that name can't be in there in the UN. The UN doesn't want that. The UN is primarily run by Islam and lost, just other lost folks, heathens, pagans. So there was a Pope Benedict. And Pope Benedict, even though he was wrong, he was very strong on Catholic doctrine, if you will. You see, they are against birth control because that's how the they repopulate their Catholicism. You don't become Catholic by walking down the street and somebody handing you a tract. You become Catholic by being born into that family 99.9% of the time. So they are for everybody reproducing in Catholicism. The UN is against that. They are for at least using the name of Jesus Christ, because you have to look like a Christian. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you have to make yourself look like a Christian by using the name of Jesus Christ. But Christianity is about calling on Jesus Christ, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior, and then trying to follow Him. So, the UN and the Catholic Church were upset with Benedict because he did not want to play by the new rules. And if you think about the word whore, what a whore is, a whore will submit to anybody except who she's supposed to. She'll give the illusion of being faithful to one, but she's really submitting to many. And that's what the church is doing. That church is doing. They give the illusion because they'll mention the name of Christ, and it's not even the right Christ. It's not the Christ that died for your sins, that paid your full sin debt. It's a different Christ. It's a different spirit. It's a different gospel. But they'll give that illusion, and then it will change to fit whatever needs that they have. I mean, the devil's the pimp. What's he doing? He's using this whore, this great whore, to get his purposes accomplished. Why is she willing to do it? Money and power. This is interesting, though. I'm telling you, you can't beat a Bible. You can't beat a Bible. This is interesting because in March 13th of 2013, now bear with me on these, hang on to these 13s for a minute. They moved Benedict out and put Francis in. Isn't it funny how they went from a man's name to a woman's name? A man with a dress wearing a name Francis. But March 13th of 2013, they put Francis in. Benedict had just been talking for his term about how violent the Muslims were. One of the first statements that was made by Francis was, I want to bring the Muslims and the Catholics into the same fold, all into one fold. I don't think we realize how far down that road we are. I mean, everybody's heard of Rick Warren. Saddleback Church, Brokeback Church, whatever that is out there. In California, Californication out there. He's the one that coined the phrase Chrislam. So in March 13th, 2013, they replaced Pope Benedict with Pope Francis, which, by the way, was ordained in the Catholic Church on December 13th in 1969. A lot of 13s coming up in that guy's name. Isn't that interesting? So what he did was he made a declaration that no matter what you believe, as long as you're sincerely seeking God, you're going to heaven. No Jesus necessary. No Jesus necessary. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not just him. It's been all of them, a whole string of them. But I'm telling you how they're doing this. They're evolving, if you will. They're changing their beliefs. They're changing their quote-unquote doctrine, if you will, to bring in one world government, one world religion. We pretty much have it. We pretty much have it. The government, the cinch on the government's happened over the last couple years. I mean, that's right at the doorstep. I mean, I think that's signed, sealed. I mean, all the Lord's going to do is call us out of here, and I hope it's today. But that one world religion is basic right here. If you're here today and if you've agreed with 70% of what I said, you are an oddity in Christianity. Because I guarantee you there's about 5% of what I said today that would be acceptable in most churches. Because it's not a religion of peace. It's a religion of truth. Amen. And Jesus Christ isn't just about love. He's also about truth and about judgment. So they lighten their stances on some things. And therefore, pretty much the same thing. Another reason, another thing the UN's for that the Catholic Church is very much for is open borders. You don't have to fight a war with guns and knives and tanks and all the logistics of a war when you can overpopulate a people. See, it's not the... And look, I am all for people legally coming to this country and paying taxes and becoming a citizen and integrating into our country and learning how to speak our language, for goodness sake. I'm all for that. And I don't want to sound like a preacher of hate. I just want you to understand the truth about this situation. Who are coming across the borders? I mean, I guarantee you, if I told you a number, you think 80% of them are Roman Catholic. Does God want them to get saved? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Do I want them to get saved? Absolutely. But that's not what's happening. Because it's becoming illegal and unpopular for you and I to preach the truth. But it's becoming more and more accepted to accept the lie. Now, who would do that? It's the devil. The devil, he's a liar. He's the leader of the lost. He's the leader of the deceived. And he's the loser. How do I know he's a loser? Because I read the Bible. And one of these days he's going to be cast in a lake of fire with the beast and false prophet. And I'm going to praise God. But the U.S. is being destroyed because of the open borders. And I don't worship the United States of America. I worship Jesus Christ. But you see, it's not the financial destruction. And it's not the physical dangers that we should worry about as much as the spiritual destruction. And see, that's the problem. That's where we get into this problem. You know, everybody, go out and vote. Go out and vote. It's our duty and all this. You know, people have lost. People have shed blood. And I am. Thank God for our military. Thank God for our police officers. Thank God for our first responders of all sorts. Thank God for them. Praise the Lord for them. Pray for them. Do something nice for them. Buy something when they're standing in line at the grocery store. Pay for their order. Whatever you got to do to help them out and try to be a blessing to them. But what about the blood that was shed on Calvary? It's just tread under the feet of man. And I'm all for supporting these people that God has put in authority over us. But look, this Republican versus Democrat versus Independent is a mess. Because what they want you to do is focus so much on the finances and your physical being that you forget about the spiritual being. And people are being misled and confused and deceived because they are spiritually bankrupt. Because they lack the hearing of the Word of God. Hey, look, I've said this till I'm blue in the face to different people. But if you're a male and you're in here and you have a family, or you have younger people that you're around, you should be reading the Bible with them every day. Because if you don't, you're just letting the devil have the heyday with them. And they're going to get caught up in this movement. And you'll be loving the Lord, saying, I love the Lord, I'm trying to do what I want to do, you know, try to do something for God, I try to please God, and your kids will be the ones with the bumper stickers that you go, where in the world did that come from? Because they don't have any truth. But this movement that everybody's being caught up in is because there's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. France is calling for nuclear disarmament. He's been calling for nuclear disarmament. Let's just put it where it really is and what it really means. That means Israel can't have nuclear weapons. See, this battle isn't what you think. It's not about peace, peace, peace. It's about destroying Israel. How do I know that? I have a Bible. A piece of dirt. I mean, if you crammed everybody in the world in that piece of dirt, they wouldn't be able to move their elbows. and they're fighting over that piece of dirt, but it's not about that dirt. It's against God. And God said that's His land, and He'll give it to who He wants to give it to. And they hate God, so they want to take that land from Israel, and they want to destroy the Jews. And as far as I can tell, since the Jews think they're still waiting for their Messiah, the rest of the world probably does too. And if they can wipe out the Jews, they can wipe out the Messiah. Well, I got news for him. He's already been here, and he's coming back. And he's not coming back in diapers in a stall of a manger. He's going to come back with a rod of iron and that peace that they're looking for. He's going to bring through strength. One of the smartest things I ever heard a president say, Ronald Reagan said. He said, peace through strength. You know what's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back? Peace through strength. There'll be peace. Everybody get along. And they'll get along under the righteousness of Jesus Christ and His judgment. Another thing Francis said that excited the UN was a call to save the planet. To save the planet. His words were, we're obligated by God to protect the planet. Okay, show me. Show me. But this is what he did, and this is what the devil does. Remember, he's subtle. We are obligated by God to protect the planet and to help the poor. Doesn't that sound good? I mean, you got to pour a little bit of honey on that to make it taste real good. So even born-again believers that know that this Bible doesn't say anything about protect the planet because God's going to burn it up anyway, they go, man, to protect the poor, that's good. It's about words. So he's saying any belief, open borders, nuclear disarmament, basically Israel can't have any weapons, and save the planet. And that one world thought process lines up with the UN. I'm telling you, we got a one world government right here already. And our guys are in bed with them because they sold out for their money. I don't care what you think about Biden or Trump. I'm going to tell you, ain't nobody going to fix this but Jesus Christ. Nobody. And I'm not saying not to vote. I'm saying vote for the one that's closest to the Word of God and their principles. You got it. I believe it's our duty to do the best we can. But Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to fix this. I said, boy, I got some new friends on the internet after this one. Or I get a call from Rome. But you know, this is what preachers have preached. I mean, not the part about what's going on these last days. This is what preachers have preached for the last several hundred years. Until about 100 years ago, it stopped. It started dwindling away. I don't know why God's left me here. I don't even want to be here. But while I'm here, I'm going to tell you the truth. And what you do with it, it's up to you. But don't get caught up in this movement. Don't get caught up in this movement. Well, Pope Francine went over there in 2019 to the Abu Dhabi. You know what that is? A big conglomeration of Islamic heathens. And he shook hands with their imams, kissed their feet, and they kissed each other's rings because they're all special, right? And they come up with this great idea for human fraternity. Let me break that down to you, because we think fraternity, we think, oh, college kids having fun. What it is people getting together with the same purpose. Well, let me tell you about this human fraternity, what it is. I'll tell you what it is, and I'll read what it says on their website. They've decided to build this place called the Abrahamic Family House. And what it is a house of worship for the Muslims, for people that call themselves Christians, really the Catholics, and the Christians that don't know any better because they don't read their Bible, and the Jews, under one roof. In 2019. It's supposed to open this year. I haven't heard anything about it opening. But this is what it says. I'm telling you, beware of this movement of peace. The Abrahamic Family House will be a beacon of mutual understanding, harmonious coexistence, and peace among people of faith and goodwill. Doesn't that just make you want to rub a baby's back and smile? Doesn't it? Doesn't that just make you see the spring lilies opening? You know what makes me see? The Antichrist is going to be here very soon. Matter of fact, the Spirit's working every way. I can tell you where Satan's seat is, in Rome, Italy. It's been there for a long time. The Antichrist has been working through every man that sat on that seat. He said he was a vicar of Christ. He said he spoke for Christ. He had people kissing his ring. And every fool that goes in there and kiss that idiot's ring ends up being a loser afterwards. And I praise God for the years that he used Billy Graham. But he went over there and he kissed that old snake's ring. And the next thing you know, he's saying, you don't even have to know who Jesus is to get to heaven. How could that be? You lay down with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. I'd like to think he kissed Trump's ring instead of Trump kissing his ring. But it really don't matter, because Jesus Christ is the only one's going to fix this. And he ain't kissing the Pope's ring. If he's here on this earth in the millennial reign, he'll kiss the Lord's ring. He'll bow down, or he won't get food or water. But he won't be here. I'm telling you, there's a dangerous movement going on. You better guard your kids, because the movement starts in the cartoons and then in the preschools and in the kindergarten and the first grade, the second grade, the third grade, the fourth grade, and all the way through the schools and all the way up into the universities, where we can all be one voice. I like the sign over here. I mean, things are a little bit different. I mean, no wonder there's snowflakes out there. Right? They melt at the first sign of heat. No wonder they're everywhere. I mean, you can drive right over the road here into Richmond. The university gets your degree on your terms. What's that mean? I don't want to pay for it. I want to do it only on Saturday between 1 and 1:15. I don't want to pass any tests. I just want a piece of paper. Where does this end up? They don't care if your kids are smart. They want them indoctrinated. They want them indoctrinated so they can be swept up in this movement of peace. You want peace? If you're not saved, you need to call on Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you and save you, and then do the best you can to walk with Him by the words of God. If you want to lie, it's everywhere. I'm going to do the best I can and not give it to you here, a lie. Father, we sure love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Peace. Lord, we look forward to His return. I ask you to call us out of here soon. Lord, get us out of this dirt hole. It's just getting crazier and crazier. Lord, as you perform your will and allow us to stay here, strengthen us and help us as we go forward. And Lord, help us to not suffer individually from a famine in the hearing of your words. And Lord, help us men to try to lead the way you want us to lead. Ultimately, it all lands on our shoulders as far as our household. And you've laid a mighty responsibility and blessing on us by giving us your word. Help us to take it seriously. And Lord, I ask for your blessing on everything that's done through this church. Be done to your honor and your glory. Bless the nursing home service. And bless Mike Rivers over there at Columbus, Lord, that he'd get the help he needs. And